The OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. So, quite a bit of news to talk about today. I should mention first that I'll be doing the podcast with Cole Sheldon at 11 a.m. today. So, in about 45 minutes from now, we'll be breaking down the entire UFC Boston card and also talking about all the fights that happened over the weekend. There was quite a few fights that happened, so I'll be talking about those with Cole. But yes, we'll be breaking down UFC Boston. But for this show, I'm going to be talking about all the latest in MMA, and there's so much news to talk about, so let's just get right into it. First things first, I want to talk about this. Do Choi and Cub Swanson want to have a rematch? And I want to see this really bad. This is a great fight. The first fight was amazing. UFC 206, I was at that card. That was one of the loudest crowds I ever heard. I think it was after the first or second round. I can't remember, but it was like super, super loud. So much respect shown by both guys in the fight. So much respect shown by the fans. It was fight of the year in 2016. It was an incredible fight. I want to see it happen again. Do Choi is calling it for it to happen in South Korea, which is obviously where he's from. According to Do Choi, he's not allowed to fight in the States. He says he's actually allowed to fight in South Korea. He says because he's doing his mandatory military service, which is kind of strange because Korean Zombie, from what we heard, wasn't allowed to fight at all. So apparently maybe Do Choi is a different deal here or something, but he says he can fight Cub Swanson at the end of the year. I think it's December 21st in Busan, or it's December 23rd, one of those 2 days. But man, do that fight. Why not? The only thing I want that won't happen if that's the case is it wouldn't be five rounds because the main event is Brian Ortega versus the Korean Zombie, but that obviously needs to be five rounds anyway. So even if this fight's three rounds, Swanson versus Choi, these guys want the fight. They're both calling for it. The fans want it. It seems to be a fight that everyone wants to see. So in my opinion, this is a fight the UFC basically is sitting in their lap right now. Both guys are asking for it. Do the fight. Book it. Do Choi versus Cub Swanson too. I know it doesn't make sense based on like the rankings and based on wins and losses. Swanson's coming off a win. Choi's coming off a loss to Stevens in January 2018. He actually hasn't fought in almost 2 years, but still, this is a fight that everyone wants to see. And you know what? I think for both these guys, they realize that they have a good chance to win an extra 50,000, and if not, win another accolade for fight of the year. So Cub Swanson versus Do Choi too. Sign me up for it. I'd love to see it. Speaking of rematches, Ben Askren is on social media and he wants a rematch with Jorge Masvidal. He basically feels like we were robbed of a potential fight because it only lasted 5 seconds. He gives credit to Masvidal for landing the knee, but believes that the fight could play out differently. And you know what? I agree with Ben on this one. I mean, the fight lasted 5 seconds. We didn't really get to see the whole fight, how it would play out. So it's a fight that I would like to see a rematch down the road, but right now it doesn't make sense. Masvidal, he is one of the biggest stars in the sport right now. It's crazy, right? Like, you know, before this year, he was pretty much a gatekeeper type at 170, and then he knocks out Darren Till, knocks out Ben Askren. Now he's fighting Nate Diaz at UFC 244 in New York. So this guy is such a big star now. Ben Askren is going to have to work his way back up the ladder. He's fighting Damian Maya actually next weekend in Singapore. So he wins that fight, he will definitely be back in the top 10 and, you know, deserving an opponent like Masvidal. But I think if Masvidal beats Nate Diaz, he'll probably get the next title shot. Now, if Masvidal loses to Nate Diaz, there's a chance we could see a rematch. It's possible, I guess. But, you know, I feel like maybe this is something we could see in a year or two. I do want to see a rematch, though. I do think that the fight could play out differently. All respect to Masvidal for landing that knee. But just say he doesn't land it and Ben Askren gets the takedown off of it. And then we don't even know how the fight's going to play out. So both these guys seem open to it at some point. Masvidal's even on Twitter basically saying that I'm open to it, you know, down the road. But I just don't think it makes sense now. But in a year or two, yes, I do think we could see actually a rematch between Askren and Masvidal. And who knows? Maybe the fight plays out much differently than what we saw with the 5 seconds last summer in Vegas. Actually, this summer, I guess. It was UFC 239. Great, great, great knockout, though. I think at the end of the year, probably going to be the knockout of the year, if I have to guess. Dana White was in Honolulu, Hawaii for the Dana White Looking for a Fight show. And one of the fighters on the card was Alex Munoz. He fought in the Contender Series last summer. And he fought Nick Newell, and he won that fight. He's a Team Alpha Male guy, and he ended up winning his fight on this card. So I would assume the UFC is going to sign this guy pretty soon. I mean, Dana White went all the way over there to watch him fight. Now, the interesting thing about his trip is not just that, but he also spoke about the UFC wanting to go back to Hawaii. Max Holloway was there with him. Uriah Faber was there with him. Dana White says he still wants it to happen. Basically, it's up to the tourism board, according to him. So, you know, I think like this argument would have worked pretty well a couple years ago, but now that Bellator has been going to Hawaii at least once or twice a year, I don't think the argument holds up. It feels like the UFC just really wants extra money from the Hawaiian government to hold their event there, whereas Bellator is just holding their events because they feel like they can, you know, bring a good event to Hawaii. Dana White was at the same arena. I think it's Neil S. Blaisdell, if I'm not mistaken. That's the arena in Hawaii. He was at that arena for this card. He says he really likes it there. He says he'd like to see an event there. But, you know, he keeps saying, oh, we need the Hawaiian Tourism Board to be on board with this. And basically, they, I think they just want to get paid a couple million, not a couple million dollars, but probably, you know, quite a bit of money in the millions to bring an event there. But I feel like with Bellator bringing their events there, you know, they might be content with that. I feel like, if anything, it's just robbing Max Holloway of a chance to fight in his home state. He really deserves that chance to fight in Hawaii. Dana White's other argument in the past has been, I don't want to do an open air arena, and also the time zone difference. But again, Bellator has been doing events there. I feel like those arguments don't really work anymore, especially with the UFC doing events in like Abu Dhabi and Australia, where the time zone's completely different as well. So to me, like, these arguments would have worked pretty well a few years ago, but now that Bellator is doing their events, it just doesn't hold as much leverage, in my opinion. So I'd like to see the UFC go to Hawaii. Max Holloway should headline that card if it happens, but Dana White's going to have to bring up a better argument than, you know, the tourism board not giving us money to come. There's a lot of interest in thinking of an event there, but even if they don't get paid that extra money, I still feel like they could make quite a bit of money pulling an event, because I feel like fans would want to see it. The only unfortunate thing is BJ Penn obviously wouldn't be in the card because he's not in the UFC any longer, but I fully expect BJ to be in that card at the end of the year with Bellator when Lee McFarland defends her title. I fully expect BJ Penn to be signed and put on that card. Rich Child, matchmaker, BJ Penn, really good friends. BJ Hawaiian. It makes so much sense. I don't have any inside information about that. I do work for BJPenn.com, but we don't really know what BJ is going on as far as his future fight status and stuff goes. But if I had to guess, as someone who watches the sport, I pretty much assume that BJ will be in that card at the end of the year in Hawaii for Bellator. Aspen Ladd's in the news. Somehow she's appealing her TKO loss to Jermaine Duran to me. It's kind of strange, like, that this news is kind of popping up now. When this fight happened in July, obviously the fight ended really soon. It was a pretty bad stoppage by her, being very quick. I think it was 16 seconds. You know, I can't blame her for wanting to appeal it, but 3 months later, really? And also, it's tough to appeal a referee stoppage. Again, it's not like it was referee error. It's not like it was a timekeeping error. It's not like it was a scoring error. It was a judgment call by Herb Dean, and the fight should be stopped. She did get knocked down. She recovered very quickly, though. It was a bad stoppage, in my opinion, but still, I don't think she's going to win this appeal. Again, 3 months later, I mean, well, I don't know why this news is coming out now. But yeah, so she'll be appealing that TKO loss. I expect her to lose that appeal. And, you know, I still think Aspen Ladd's one of the top 10 fighters in that division. And she's probably really salty that Jermaine won the fight. She's getting a title shot when Aspen probably thinks she deserves it. But you know what? I really don't feel like this is going to hurt her career too much. She's still super young. And, you know, losing to Jermaine Duran is not that bad of a loss. She's a great fighter herself. So to me, it's not that bad. And I really expect this appeal not to go through. Although I will say this, I don't mind these fighters and teams like Barboza's team as well, and Diego Lima, Alex Davis as their manager. I don't mind them appealing these things because it does draw, you know, attention to issues like refereeing and judging. But I just feel like in this kind of a sport where it's so subjective, it's very hard to win those appeals. And unless, like I said, if there's an error, like a scorekeeping error, they wrote down the wrong name or the wrong score, or if it's like a timekeeping error, that kind of stuff I feel like can, you know, be overturned. But stuff where it's like the referee, you know, has to jump in and stop the fight because he feels like the fight was over, that kind of thing is really hard to overturn. Although in this case, I do believe that the fight was stopped early by Herb Dean. Tatiana Suarez, who in many people's opinion is the number contender at women's strawweight, spoke yesterday on, I believe, Ariel's show, and she said that she's still injured. She's dealing with some neck issues right now. She will not be able to fight anytime soon, especially not for the title. And you know what? It's not that bad of a thing. I do think she needs some more work in her game. The Nina Ansaroff fight was not a very good performance by her. She did getting the win, but it was a fight that she really should have dominated, and she barely snuck by that fight. So I feel like that fight showed her and it showed everyone really that she does need more work in her game to well round her game out. And in the meantime, Joanna Jacek can fight Weili Zhang for the title. When Tatiana is ready to go, she can either maybe fight the winner of that, or I think maybe one more fight makes a lot more sense. She could fight Watterson. She could fight Jessica Andrade. That fight would make a lot of sense, in my opinion. Jessica Andrade versus Tatiana Suarez. She could fight Rose Namajunas. There's a few different options for her. But yes, I think probably one more fight and one more big victory in impressive fashion. Not like the fight with Ansaroff, where she really just barely won that fight against a fighter that she should have dominated. Reporters come out about the PFL incident between Ali Abdelaziz and Abraham Kawa. Basically, the report says that Ali Abdelaziz was seen by police as striking Abe Kawa in the face with a closed fist. So, obviously, not good news for Ali. Abe can take a punch, so good for Abe for taking that punch. But man, Ali, well, I'm sure people are going to make comments about this in the comment, the chat room here. That's what everyone talks about on social media these days. You know, Ali obviously gets into quite a bit of hot water these days, and just in general, the last couple of years. Obviously, Mike Russell does great reporting on him, and like I said, that Body Locker article was pretty good. As much flack as he gets from fans and media, I will say this, Ali Abdelaziz is loved by his fighters. I watched that Dominance MMA press conference last week. The fighters love this guy. And I feel like he does a good job as a manager, like booking these fights for his guys and getting the money and stuff like that. But, you know, the guy is always in trouble, it seems like. So I do think he's a really good manager. But all the stuff that goes on outside of the MMA managing stuff is... it's such an eyesore, and it'd be nice if he could just rein it in. But man, like this latest incident, it's not the first time that he's gotten to a little skirmish at a PFL event or even an MMA event in general. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this. Not sure if Abe's going to press charges or not, but yeah, obviously he got punched in the face and the police saw it. So this is the fact. The police witnessed it. So not good for Ali, but I don't know if anything's going to come out of it because it feels like this guy, it feels like nothing ever comes out of these incidents for him. He just seems to get away with a lot of stuff. Ilir Latifi is back in the news. He has a fight announcement to make. He hasn't made it yet. He's teasing that he will be moving up to heavyweight, though, which I talked about a little bit on this podcast in the past. It's a move that makes sense. He's coming off a couple losses to light heavyweight. Obviously, he's going to be very short going to heavyweight, but he's a very, very strong dude. I'm assuming he cut a lot of weight to make light heavyweight. I know he has, I believe, fought a middleweight weight in the past, but, you know, I think at light heavyweight, he was cutting a lot of weight. He's just a big, big, stocky dude. I think heavyweight's not a bad move for him at this point. He definitely needs to get a win. There's a lot of guys who could fight. I mean, how about even Latifi versus Ty Tuivasa? Why not do that fight? That makes some sense. Tuivasa is barely clinging on to a roster spot. Latifi, he needs to get a win himself. Two guys with knockout power. Why not do that fight? There's got to be some matchups for him. Latifi's a decent fighter, but again, light heavyweight was not working out too well for him lately, and I think the move up to heavyweight is actually not a bad move. We've seen a lot of guys move up weight, and when they're not cutting weight, they actually perform better. And I feel like Latifi could be in a similar situation. And one fight I have to talk about here, it's not in the UFC, it's in Bellator. Terrell Fortune will be taking on Tim Johnson at Bellator 233. Pretty solid fight here. Terrell Fortune deserves this opportunity to fight a guy like Tim Johnson, a veteran. Terrell Fortune, 7-0 in his career, 29 years old. Guys looked really good in Bellator. All of his wins are as a pro or in Bellator since making his debut in 2016. His last fight against this guy, Rudy Shafroff, I mean, he's got to fight someone better, obviously, and Bellator saw that themselves, and they thought, you know what, we got to give this guy a step up. I know Tim Johnson's coming off a loss in his last fight. It was a quick loss to Vitaly Minnikov, and actually was knocked out by Chiat Kongo before that as well. So two straight knockout losses, but this is a guy who had a lot of success in the UFC in the past. He actually had a winning record in the UFC with a 4-3 record. He was released, but he had some good wins like Shamil Abdurakhimov, Martin Tybura. So he had some decent wins, was released. Obviously, he didn't have a great run at the end, but this guy is a decent test, I think, for any up-and-coming heavyweight. And I do feel like Terrell Fortune deserves a guy like this that has somewhat of a name to fans. So I expect Fortune to win this fight. He should be a decent-sized favorite at the books. But, Tim Johnson is a big dude with knockout power, so you can't completely write him off. I'm going to double check and see if I missed anything, but I think I've talked about everything that I want to. How about this one here? One last thing. Ronnie Marks has signed with Bellator, so that's an interesting signing there by Bellator. Former UFC fighter, obviously, and former PFL fighter. I remember a few years ago, he fought Thiago Santos and was a massive favorite and lost by knockout, and he was released by the UFC. But, you know, looking back now, his run in the UFC wasn't that bad. He beat Carlos Femola, Aaron Simpson, and Andrew Craig, and then lost to Yoel Romero and Thiago Santos, which was released. So that's pretty tough. But, you know, since then, he's struggled quite a bit. He's fought pretty much in WSOF, PFL, and also in Russia and stuff, like for M1. He's kind of struggled a bit, but he does have a couple of good, like, notable wins in that time period, like Smilino Rama. That's an okay win. Tony Lopez, that's a veteran. So he's got a couple of wins. He's coming off a TKO win over Siga Pezzaselli. But the problem was in that fight, he missed weight. And he's missed weight a couple times. And PFL, obviously, even though I think Ali is his manager, and Ali obviously has a big stake in PFL. He had to release this guy because he just was struggling to make weight. So I think Bellator is not a bad home for him. I guess he's going to move up to heavyweight because I don't even know if he can make light heavyweight at this point, but I'm not sure he's going to fight, but definitely just saw that and it was worth mentioning. So I think that's it for today, guys. Thanks again for tuning in for this podcast. I'll be back in about half an hour, 35 minutes to break down UFC Boston with my buddy Cole Shelton. So definitely check that out. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe. Check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. I'll be back in half an hour with Cole Shelton breaking down UFC Boston. Have a good one, guys. I'll see you soon. Bye.